Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a stunning day today, alhamdulillah. Another day for us to do better and be better, alhamdulillah. A day that we can try to erase what happened yesterday from our minds. If yesterday wasn't so good, don't worry about it. Allah's given this day to do a little better, inshallah. This is Morning Espresso. I'm your host, Sulayla Appleby, and it's indeed a pleasure to be here with you, especially because I have a stunning woman in studio with me. Her name is Naima Mbulawa. Alhamdulillah, I got it right. Assalamu alaikum to you, madam.
Assalamu alaikum.
How are you?
I'm fine, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I'm very happy that you came to us today. And you look so beautiful in your hijab, mashallah.
Shukran for having me. And
alhamdulillah. Let's talk about Naima when she was little. You're going to have to rewind just a little bit because you're still very young, mashallah.
Yes.
Okay, so tell me what you were like as a little girl.
As a little girl, I was very sickly. I was born premature and very sickly. I was certified dead clinically.
Oh, no.
3 times. It's all in my book, Naima's Journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very close to my mom. I was moved away from my siblings. It's all in my book. So I grew with my mom. My mom was my friend, my support, my pillar of strength.
Alhamdulillah.
And yes, I was just a happy child, but lonely and sad because I wasn't with my...
With your siblings?
With my siblings, yes.
Ah, okay. Now, Naima is here today to talk to us about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted her to answer the call to Islam, alhamdulillah. And it's been a beautiful journey, sometimes a sad journey, and I'm sure you'll agree with me by the end of our talk today that you know exactly what it is that that she meant. So, growing up without your brothers and sisters wasn't fun. Were there at least other children around?
Okay, my mother was in Zimbabwe. She's a South African from Kronstadt, but she was nursing in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
Then it was called Rhodesia.
Yeah.
And because of the war and the uncertainty that was there at the time, she preferred to bring up my siblings in South Africa with my grandparents.
Okay.
So because of my birth and my sickness, when it was my turn to go to my grandmother said, no, there's a Sotho word, haile mafavu ke gematle. Basically, it means this one who keeps dying and coming back to life. I'm sorry, I can't have her here.
Well, just repeat that in Xhosa.
It's in Sotho, actually. It's haile mafavu ke ha ke mobatli. Basically, it means this one who keeps dying and coming back to life.
That's you now.
That was me.
Yeah.
So,
but you had a purpose, even though she didn't know it at the time.
Mashallah, I had a purpose, and I wish you are still alive to see the purpose.
Oh, alhamdulillah.
But yes, so there was not children besides the primary school I went to and the schools I went to. So those were the children that I was close to. But otherwise, at home, I was the only child, and I was in Zimbabwe, and they were in Kronstadt.
Okay. So where did you go to school?
I went to Cecil John Rhodes Primary, that is in Gweru in Zimbabwe, and then I went to Chaplin High School.
Okay. So you grew up by yourself, but alhamdulillah, that didn't deter you from being the best that you can be.
My mother was my pillar of my strength, and my mother taught me a lot, and my mother grounded me. My mother was a Christian, and in her Christianity, she believed everything you first seek, the Creator, which is God. And she told me, she used to teach me, be the best you can be. And when you do something, do it and do it well. And I think I've carried that that advice, even though she's gone. She went to be with the Lord in 2005.
Okay, alhamdulillah. I see that still saddens you a bit.
It does.
For all of us who've lost our moms,
yes,
it so touches our heart. Every time we say something or we remember something about her. Now, you grew up as a non-Muslim, right?
Yes.
As you were getting into your teens, what was life like for you?
My mother was very protective in the sense that I remember at high school, my classmates would go to movies for weekends.
Okay.
I wasn't allowed to go to a movie house.
Okay.
I would stay at home.
Yes.
And she would feed me and we would do things at home. I actually got to my first movie house when I got married. So I was very sheltered, very okay. sheltered. So I wasn't exposed to much, and I thank her for that.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you think it was a good thing that she kept you so sheltered?
I think it was. You see, the thing is what I've learned. When Allah creates us, He knows the end. We don't know the end because it's a journey.
Yes.
And I believe her sheltering me and her bringing me up the way she brought me up has helped me to be a revered Muslim. Because there are rules and regulations. There are with Islam, there are certain. There's a way of life, and if you can find it difficult to adjust to, but alhamdulillah, my background at home has helped me to adjust easier and easily into Islam.
I'm thinking of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us on the straight and narrow when He wants us to tread a certain path.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. When did Islam first interest you?
Islam first interested me, funny enough. Growing up, my mother was a South African in Zimbabwe. So like here, foreigners are always treated differently.
Yes.
So my mother's friends were actually Muslim.
Okay.
I remember Mr. and Mrs. Patel. They used to live. I went with their daughter Amina. I remember I used to enjoy because there was a part when they used to invite us for meat. They would give us so much meat. I didn't know what this meat was.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed as a child. You
of
look
course.
Forward to those.
Of course.
So I loved. Those were my friends.
Mm.
And I remember I was, is it a nikah? I was invited to a nikah at the age of 11. But Amina's brother was getting married.
Okay.
And because I was the only non-Muslim or non-Indian in there. And, you know, there are certain things that attract you. And
yes.
And I've always admired the way they lived, but I was young.
Yes.
And I never thought I would revert to Islam. I never thought I'd revert
okay.
to Islam.
Okay.
Yes.
At the wedding, let's just stay there for a moment.
Yes.
The ladies dressed in a certain way. I want you to think about that day. And when we come back, we'll talk about it again, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape.
A warm welcome back. If you have just tuned in, you're just in time to listen to a beautiful lady named Naima Mbulawa. Mbulawa. Alhamdulillah, I got it right. Not first time, though. She attended the Discover Islam revert classes last year at Islamia Masjid. And quite interestingly enough, she decided to compile a journal of her journey to Islam, alhamdulillah, and it's called Naima's Journey, alhamdulillah. And she's here to tell us how she answered Allah's call to Islam, alhamdulillah. Let's talk about, before the break, we spoke about the wedding that you went
yes.
to, which was a very la-di-da wedding. So what did you see there?
First of all, the exciting thing, and I'll never forget, obviously, there's a dress code,
yes.
and I didn't have the right attire.
Okay.
So Mrs. Patel was kind enough. She said to my mom, because she could sew, she
yes.
said to me, I'll make Connie an outfit. And this outfit, when it came, alhamdulillah, it was powder blue. It was a pants and a top.
Yes.
And the top had like straps. I don't know what you call it. You know the divisions where it's just it
yes,
flaps.
Yes, yes.
It looked very nice, mashallah.
Oh,
I loved it. And my
sure.
mom had to get me a shoe.
Okay.
I don't remember what I had on my head.
Did
though.
Your mom go with you?
No.
Okay.
No. She couldn't because my mom was a nurse and she was working that night.
Oh, okay.
And it was an evening.
So it
nikah.
Was an evening. All right.
So I had to sleep over actually after that. So I went with the family and when we walked in, it was glitz and glamour. You can imagine the lights and
you can imagine
the abayas.
Ooh.
You can imagine. It was so beautiful, mashallah. And the food, I remember just the decor, and it was different because, you know,
not quite what you were used to.
It's not quite what I was expecting. Okay. But I really enjoyed myself. And I think it was there at the back of my mind. But as a child, you never know where it will take you. But I just had this... You know when you're a child, you envy, you look at somebody and you say, oh, I wish I can be them.
Okay.
I wish I could dress like that. I wish I could walk like that. You know, those kind of things. And... later on, at the age of 40, they actually helped me to just embrace Islam.
All right. Now, before we get to that, I need to ask you, of course, when you said you slept over, you know, of course, that they prayed in the morning. Or whenever you were there, did you ever see them pray, and did it not look strange to you?
To be honest, I can't remember those parts.
Okay, you
can't. I can't remember those parts. I don't know if they prayed in front of me or they prayed in their rooms. I can't remember that part, unfortunately. All right.
It's rather sad, though.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea if we have people that you tell them about what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
So now you said that was when you were 11.
Yes, that was 11.
Right?
Yeah.
So now you're going to be 13 and 14. Those are years when one is very inquisitive.
Yes.
Did you ask a lot of questions at the time?
No.
No?
I can't remember.
When did you start asking questions?
About Islam?
Yes.
I actually started asking Islam at the age of 30.
Okay. So you were 30 years old.
Yes.
And before that, you were just like a normal non-Muslim person.
Non-Muslim.
Yes. And didn't have a clue about Islam yet. Talk to me about the first time when it struck you.
When it struck me, I remember I was 30. I was working for a local bank.
Okay.
And it was an issue about halal food. And I think growing up, my mother taught me to stand for what I believe in. And she used to say, if you don't believe in something, you'll fall for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And what struck me was, it was an issue about halal food. Mm. And I was working for the building manager at the time. And the Muslims at the time where I was working were adamant that if their food is not halal, if there's no halal section, they're not going to eat in the canteen.
Mm.
And they came as a group, and they came united, and they had one voice.
Yes.
And I admired that. That made me look, that made me turn, that made me say, wow, I love what these people do. And they stood for what they eat. It's in their Quran that you eat halal food, and they were not going to budge. And many times, I believe that we sacrifice, we want to fit in, we do things. We, even though it's against our religion, even though it's against what we are taught, we will just do it because we want to fit in.
Yes.
But that time made me realize, you know what? I'm proud of Muslims. That's what I remember. I was 30.
Didn't it make you think of your mom saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything?
I did.
Yes.
I did. And over the years, and then I went to study ministry. I was ordained as a Christian pastor.
You were?
Yes, I was. It's all in my book.
Okay.
And after I'd finished, because I had so many unanswered questions, you know, I think I was inquisitive, but I would never ask.
Okay.
And internally, I would have all these questions. And then after my mom died in 2005, and a whole lot of things happened, my divorce, my daughter passed away, it's all in my book.
Mm-hmm.
I was sad. I was sad. I was angry. I thought studying ministry would help me take away that anger, but I was just angry.
Yes.
I was very angry. I was hurt. I was grieving. I was angry.
Even though you had done all of those things.
Even though I've done all that. And then I got to a point where I just couldn't fake it anymore. I couldn't fake the hurt, because when you're standing up there and you're preaching to people, you are supposed to in a kind of way, have all the answers.
Okay.
In a kind of way, be okay. Be blessed.
Yes.
Wow, I'm happy. But yeah. I realized I wasn't happy.
You were
and
empty.
I was lying.
Yes.
And I couldn't lie anymore. Mm. And then I started seeking. And while I was seeking, I started doing my thesis. And then Islam came again.
Mm. Remember, how did that come about?
Okay, I was doing my thesis, and my thesis was how does ministry change in the market? How can we impact in the marketplace?
All right, hold on to that thought. Okay. We're going to be back right after this.
Okay.
Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape.
And call to Islam today, I'm Sulaylat. And to tell us more about how she answered Allah's call to Islam is Naima Mbulawa, who's sharing a heartwarming experience about how Allah guided her heart, alhamdulillah. And a little bit of advice to those seeking advice about Islam. Please be careful when researching information about Islam. There are many, many websites, and some of them are very misleading. Some of them have false information. So if you'd like to know more, rather go to your local mosque and speak to the person there, and then find out how you can get more information, how you can embrace Islam, things like that. Also, interact with us today. Come say salam to Naima. I'm sure she'd love to hear from you. Call us on 021-442-3530. You can also visit the Voice of the Cape Facebook page and like our page, and then leave us your comments. Or if you have a question for Naima, I'm sure she would answer that. Or you can visit our website. That's www.vocfm.co.za and listen to us via audio stream. And now I'm going to tell you about this lovely lady. She was 30 years old, alhamdulillah. So at the place of work once, where the Muslims stood together because they wanted halal foods, alhamdulillah. And that kind of inspired her. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So tell us about what happened after.
Then what happened afterwards, after I was ordained as a Christian, I was doing my thesis. But as I said, I was still empty. I was still angry. So clearly, nothing had happened.
Mm.
And I could have chosen to continue lying and pretend to be happy.
Okay.
Or just to decide, you know what, I'll seek more.
Alhamdulillah. Before you continue, we're going to ask our listeners to please keep it short so we can see how many people we can access to say salam to Naima. Ismail, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Shukran for taking my call. I was listening to your guest, you know, and it was so heartwarming to hear how she reverted to Quran, how she reverted to truth. And I just want to ask her one question, if it's okay with you.
Okay.
Does she think, because this is what I'm doing, and I'm finding a lot of success, does she think that if we as Muslims, so-called Muslims, that's following the Quran, that we should not revere Nabi Isa in the sense that, the way the Christians revere Nabi Isa, but also make him part of our vicars and show the non-Muslim that he is part of our deen as well. We are not the enemy.
Okay. Ismail, I'm going to ask her to answer your question. Hold on for me. Or you can listen on the radio if that's okay with you. Ismail asked a very profound question to you. Do you want to answer his question?
Yes, alhamdulillah, as-salam. Basically, I don't know how to put it nicely, but I think to cut a long story short, I'll just bring my ex-colleague Warda Isaacs in the picture.
Mm.
I was an ordained pastor, Christian pastor, and I had all these questions and I had all these things to say. And I observed Warda Isaacs for a year. And I part of me wanted her to say the wrong things. Part of me wanted her to say something that would make me say, oh yeah, no wonder I'm not Muslim. But for a year, Warda, I think she bit her tongue, I'm not sure. Because I would ask her all the difficult questions. She would dress up in her abaya. She would fully covered at work, and she remained consistent. And I wanted to revert to Islam, but I was wanting to find a fault. So it's not about you preaching about Nabi Isa. It's about the way you live.
Your conduct.
Your conduct. Yes. I need it. I looked.
Yes, you, sorry, continue.
I looked at her, and for me, I want to say it, alhamdulillah, on radio station, Warda Isaac was my draw card into Islam.
Alhamdulillah. So may Allah reward her for that. I must also just add at this point that people should learn about Islam. Don't look at people. Don't look at other Muslims. I love what you said about that, because that was your way of doing it. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us everything, the Quran and the Sunnah, for us to follow. Alhamdulillah. You see what I mean? So all of us, yes, we are human. We err all the time. Correct?
It's true.
Indeed. Nazim is holding fast. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
How are you, sir?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Yes, what is this lady's name?
Naima.
Naima, yes. You know, if a person listen to you people, that are reverting to Islam and that are so excited of reverting to Islam, finding Allah Ta'ala.
It is
really wallahi, it makes a person jealous that are sitting here listening to you.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm Muslim now for the last 40, 50 years already. And I'm not that excited. And I mean, I've been involved in a group of youth guys that is reverted to Islam in Mandalay, and I mean the amount of effort that these people are putting in learning and the teachings of Islam, really. And I mean, I came to a conclusion that maybe because they were guided by Allah Ta'ala, so Allah Ta'ala actually brought them to Islam, because I mean, we were born Muslims, but the difference of these reverts is that Allah Ta'ala has really guided them to Islam, because I mean, they have lived in dalal, in darkness, and Allah Ta'ala has granted them to Islam. Allah Ta'ala make them ambassadors to Islam, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. I've been saying this for a long time. I'm so not a fan of the word revert. I prefer new Muslim, because after a while, new just fall away and you are Muslim. That's it.
Actually, I'm on the Discover Islam support group.
Okay.
And that word came up, the word revert, and how some people are not happy with the word.
Yes.
But I also say, I'm so proud to be a Muslim.
Yes.
Call me revert anytime. It does not define me. It does not define why Allah brought me and guided me into Islam.
Alhamdulillah.
A revert is a word, and if it identifies me, I don't mind. I actually don't mind the word revert. But I know there are some people who don't like the word.
4423530 is the number that you can call if you'd like to talk to us. Or you can interact with us via SMS. You can send us your questions or comments via SMS on this number, 47913. 47913. That's the number that you can SMS on. Now, let's just find out. After watching and observing, when did it hit you? This is something that I need to do, because now I can't hold on to this any longer. Allah has guided me thus far, so I'm going to go with that. Before we get to your answer, let's just find out from Sadia. She's online. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. What is the lady's name in the
Naima.
Studio? Naima.
Yes.
I'm so pleased to hear what you've gone through.
Alhamdulillah.
Or what is it happening?
Yes.
Sulayla knows me very well.
I do.
This is not an identification call. I'm just saying 43 years ago, I've been through the same thing.
But alhamdulillah.
You touched my heart so much. I'd like to get in touch with you and with Sulayla at the same time, because I've got something up that I want to get all reverts together to ask all in person questions and go on with their life. So my journey is very long, and I've got horror stories and beautiful stories to tell.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes. Okay.
Sadia, hold on a second.
Salam, Sadia.
Sadia. Naima wants to say something to you.
Salam, Sadia.
Alaikum salam.
Sadia, I'm very happy to hear about you. You know what? I'm not marketing Discover Islam, but I am sitting here today because of Discover Islam. I'm a child from Discover Islam. So if you want to see Rivets, 8th of March, at the Islamia Mosque, we have a support group, and you can contact with Discover Islam. You see lots of rivets.
Alhamdulillah. There you have it, Sadia. Now you can get together with them, inshallah. Shukran so much for your call. We do appreciate it. Keep wale. Assalamu alaikum. So let's get back to your answer. Yes. The day that you know, after thinking about it, after observing and looking at this Islam and Islamic way of life, will I be able to do it? Won't I? When did that happen for you?
Okay, as I said, I observed Warda for a year, and I used to tell her, I remember my first conversation with her. This is why I say when Allah calls, He guides. My first words to her was, Warda, I want to go to Makkah. And her words to me was, who are you going to smuggle to get there? And then I said, I don't know.
Oh,
you make
my
a plan.
Goodness,
and
yes.
And then she said,
can I just ask, why did you want to go to Makkah?
My heart wants to be there. I don't know. I've never been there. I don't know.
You heard stories about it?
Very little.
Okay.
But I know that this is where you go for pilgrimage.
Okay, but there's a yearning.
There's a yearning.
Ah,
a deep yearning.
Inshallah. May Allah grant that yearning to become a reality, inshallah.
Inshallah. Amen. So I said to her, I want to go to Makkah. And then she said to me, oh, okay. And then she didn't force me. She left. She left me. And then later on I said to her, but you know what, Warda? I want to cover my head. For me, it was a process. It was a process of getting there. It was a process. It was a safe process that if I don't like this, I can pull back.
Yeah.
So I started covering my head at work. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. And then the critics came. I was called all these nice things. I was accused of all these nice things. But
did you comment on what they were saying?
No, I'm sure I've got a big mouth. I'm sure I answered. But there are two things that stood out in all these comments. And I also want to also plead with Muslims out there. Rivet. Other people struggle with the word rivet. I think I struggle with the word did you convert for a man? That was the hardest word for me because for me, I thought it was very contradictory. Please allow me. I thought it was contradictory in that when we talk about Islam, we say it's sheikh to associate Allah with anything else. So if Allah is so beautiful, Allah is so mighty, Allah is so great, why would I, as Naima, coming from Zimbabwe, revert to Islam for a man? Why can't I just revert to Islam because Allah is calling me to Islam? And that is the word I struggled with.
Alhamdulillah. We have Ismail back online. Let's just find out quickly before we need to go take a break. Assalamu alaikum.
I want to clear the question I posed to Naima.
Yes.
You see, we are being confronted with a lot of what they call Islamophobia, where the politicians has made us terrorists, that they has made us all kinds of bad people, because there has been a fight that's been going on since the inception of Islam.
Yes.
And for us to go that route and to show these, because it is the followers that has become so very much, anti-Islam because of what the leaders told them, what the priests told them about Islam. But here we are showing them that we are revering their premise, you see. Their premise is, what is their premise? Their premise is Jesus. And we are showing them that we are also love him, the way you love him, but we love him better than you. Because we don't worship him as a God, we worship him as a messenger. But we love him.
Shukran Ismail for clearing that up. I think we need to go for an ad.
All right. Shukran Ismail for calling back again and making that clear. Alhamdulillah. Let's go to an ad break and then we'll come back, inshallah.
Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape.
On Morning Espresso, Naima Mbulawa is answering, or rather has answered, Allah's call to Islam, alhamdulillah. And we're very happy to have her with us. Now, before the break, we spoke about a whole range of things. We also had a few callers, and we thanked them. If you'd like to interact with us, call us on 021-442-3530 if you'd like to welcome Naima, or if you have some words of inspiration, something that she can take with her, something that will make her think a little bit more also about our way of life, alhamdulillah. I don't know about you, my dear listeners, but for me, being a Muslim, alhamdulillah, is an absolute privilege. And I thank Allah that He has granted us this privilege, alhamdulillah. So before the break, we talked about a whole range of things.
Yes, we did.
What is the one thing that's still sticking in your mind about that?
What's sticking out is about me wanting to go to Makkah and what brought me to make the final decision to take my Kalima Shahada. So the journey went on. Warda and I looked for places where I could go and study, because I needed to study. Because I said to her, you know what, Warda, I've gone to 3 years Bible school and I've learned.
Yes.
And this is a life-changing decision. It takes a lot of guts and courage to do this. But I'm not going to get myself involved in something that I'm not sure of.
Mm.
I need to study this before I make a decision.
Okay.
So I had said to Warda, it's going to take me a year. And then we got Discover Islam. I think my first class was the 9th of February, if my memory serves me correctly.
What was your first impression when you came into the class?
Alhamdulillah. I remember that whole morning I wept. I cried in class. Mwalima Roshan Felanda was my Mwalima.
Why did you cry?
All the things that I have always envisioned and all the things that I've always wanted to see, man, I saw it in that class. Okay. Humility.
Yes.
You first of all, you'd leave your shoes outside.
Okay.
And we would kneel. There were no chairs.
Okay.
So in that room, it didn't matter whether you're a doctor or you've got a multimillionaire husband or you've got, and I am single with no, we were just one.
You're all the same.
And for me, I just felt like Cinderella had arrived.
Oh my.
And that feeling was overwhelming. I wept right through that class.
Okay.
I just couldn't deal with this. It was just too much for me. It's like, wow. It took me 40 years to get here. It's like I wanted to hit myself on the head. And
but you have arrived.
Yes,
you
I
had arrived.
I had arrived.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Allah brought you to that point.
Yes. So I was going to take a class for a year before I make a decision. But alhamdulillah, my first class was on the 6th of Feb. And on the 12th of April, I took my Kalima Shahada.
Alhamdulillah. During that time, what kinds of questions did you ask about Islam? What still made you a little uncertain?
What made me uncertain was the negative words that now people were telling me. Because now it was like, you are going to die in hell. You've forsaken Christ. And then I had this fear. I remember telling Warda in a meeting room. It was actually meeting room 5 at work.
Yes.
I said to Warda, you know what, Warda? My biggest fear is I hope I'm not forsaking the God that I've served as a Christian.
Oh, okay.
And I said to her, Warda, I'm praying. And I need to get certain. I need to make sure that your Allah is the God I've been praying to.
Okay.
Because if I'm not, then I think I'm committing the worst sin. Because this God, I've run to him when my mom died. I've run to him when I lost my daughter. I've run to him when I was homeless. I've run to him when I struggled as a single parent. And he's never let me down. So I can't forsake him at the age of 40.
Yes.
And then she started, and then I would do salah, I'd make dua. I remember I would fast and I would pray because I just wanted to make sure that I'm not going to, when I'm saying I'm reverting, Allah is God.
Yes, there mustn't be a shadow of a doubt.
No, there mustn't be a pillar or a pill that I'm going to pray to. I need to pray to that one God. And through my classes, I realized actually we're serving one God. So and then this is what brought me to the excitement of wanting to write a book. Because when I realized that, guys, for goodness sake, we're serving one God. I needed to shout on the rooftops. I wanted to stand up and say, listen, guys, we actually pray one God.
Yeah.
And then this is where Naima's journey came into.
All right. So now you've decided.
Yes.
The next step is to actually verbalize your inner into those words.
Yes.
What did it feel like to say those words? It's very foreign because it's Arabic and it's not the kind of words that you grew up with.
These were the words that I had to read. Please allow me, it's short. Ashhadu alla ilaha illa Allah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan wa rasulu. These are the words that I had to read. Remember, my Arabic is not
problem. Great. Everybody
but
understands.
I cried.
Okay.
I cried.
Yeah.
Because I was leaning to my Maker.
Yes.
It didn't matter what my Christian friends thought. It didn't matter what my family thought. I remember I was all by myself.
Yes.
My colleagues, my Muslim colleagues, I think there were 35, came.
Yes.
But I didn't have family that day. It did not matter what the world thought of me, but I was getting closer to my Maker. And I was getting the healing that I wanted.
Yes.
It was special.
Alhamdulillah. We just need to pay some bills quickly. We'll be right back, inshallah.
From Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape.
Naima Mbuala is my Umbulawa. I'm sorry. Now the program is almost finished. I get it wrong. How bad is that? Well, if you have been listening or if you just tuned in, my guest is Naima Mbulawa, and she was talking to us about how she answered Allah's call to Islam. But you know what? If you'd like to listen to the full program, you are most welcome to download it from iono.fm, and I'm sure you will get everything that you need. Even other programs that you missed, inshallah. Now, you said the words that take you from being a non-Muslim to a Muslim.
Yes.
What came for you after? Because obviously, yes, you said you had done a lot of research and you've done a lot of finding out what this religion is all about. But now, obviously, as you said the Shahada earlier on, it is a foreign language. It's not your home language. Mm-hmm. So what came to you after?
What came to me after was the peace.
Alhamdulillah.
The peace that I was seeking.
Yes.
I finally got it.
Yes.
And I want to repeat, I got closer to God, my Maker. And I understand some people won't understand what I mean when I say God, but I mean the Creator, the Maker, As-Samad, Al-Mujib. This is the God, the one God that is the Creator of heaven and earth.
Yes.
And I don't know which part some people wouldn't understand, but it's the same God, the God who created. The great God who created you and me. And I believe, and I will make it very clear, the divisions that were spoken, the Trinity that was put in, it's a religion that was written by somebody, but at the end of the day, we were created by one God.
Absolutely.
Unless I was taught incorrectly at Madrasa, Mwalima Roshan, I hope you're listening, but I believe and I was taught that I serve one God, the Maker. So if you don't understand that part, I really don't understand. I think, Mwalima Roshan, you need to take me back to Madrasa and we need to revisit this because I believe we've got one God, one Creator, Almuji, Asamad.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that, my dear. Now, you had to learn how to make salah. You had to learn how to cleanse yourself. All of those things, right? And was it easy for you or did you find it difficult?
Salah was difficult.
Why?
It's Arabic.
Ah.
And, I struggled.
Did it take a long time for you to...
I remember...
But listening to you now, before you continue, listening to you now, at sort of roles of... They are still, you can hear, but alhamdulillah, you did very good.
Shukran to Discover Islam. I got it through because of Discover. So shukran to Discover Islam, and I just want to say Discover Islam, continue doing the great work.
Alhamdulillah. Can I ask about your first Ramadan, when Ramadan came around?
That was last year.
Yeah, what was that like for you?
I was actually busy writing my Naima's journey. I was hungry. I was very hungry. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, that's all you could think about.
I was hungry.
Oh, alhamdulillah. But when Eid came around, were you glad that you stuck it out?
I did. I was very happy, alhamdulillah. I was so excited. It was exciting time for me. I was happy that I managed. I had achieved something. Yes. It was a milestone for me.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
And I was happy.
At the end of the day,
yes.
If you look at yourself in the mirror, what do you see?
I see a beautiful young woman.
Mashallah.
Who has reverted to Islam.
Yes.
Who is still going to learn because one of the rules that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was for us to gain knowledge. So every day I'm gaining knowledge, and every day I'm getting empowered.
Alhamdulillah.
And with the challenges that come, and with the testimonies that come, with the blessings that come, I just say, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. I thank Allah for everything. Alhamdulillah. Masha. Let's just see here. We have a lady named Wea Johnson.
Yes.
This is on Facebook, by the way.
Yes.
And we have Sumaya Cornelius and six other people who likes this page, this segment rather.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum. Barakallah fiki for sharing this beautiful journey to Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to guide you and keep you on the straight path. Ameen. Mm-hmm. I would like to know where I can buy your book online. Wassalam. And this comes from Rachel from Denmark. How cool is that?
Alhamdulillah, Rachel, I have not put it on
onto the internet yet.
I'm selling the books. Online. I'll be in the UK. I'll be in Birmingham from the 28th of February.
Inshallah.
And I'm back on the 14th of March. My number is 076-309-4116.
Okay.
My email address is naima@gardenofbliss.co.za.
I think we're going to ask Anita, the producer of the program, to put it on Facebook and then everybody can see it there. All right? All your details.
Yes.
Excellent. Then we have Loretta Lolly Boor who says, Salam, please advise how or where I can get your book from. I am in Zimbabwe. So now, when we put all of your details on there, whoever would like it can get it.
I can post your book. I've already posted a few books to Malawi and to Zambia. Mm-hmm. So I can post your books. But if you want, I'm in the UK from the 28th to the 14th of March. Email me and I will try and make contact with
Wonderful.
You, inshallah.
So I'm going to ask you to put all the details on so everybody can see it, inshallah.
Shukran.
What is the best thing about being a Muslim for you right now, right this minute?
I look at myself in the mirror, and every day when I wake up, every time after my salah, it's like, you know when you wash your face?
Yes.
It's like all the dirt and the grime is taken off, and I just see myself, I'm becoming beautiful every day.
Oh, alhamdulillah. Do you know why you're getting more and more beautiful?
I don't know. Maybe you can tell me.
No, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with this beautiful deen of Islam, alhamdulillah. And because you worship Him, in the way that you worship Him, and you're trying your best to get, and you are sincere, it shows. Okay. Alhamdulillah. You know, it shows on one's face.
Shukran.
Whether you are worshiping properly or not.
Shukran.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you and guide you because you have chosen Islam as your deen. Alhamdulillah.
Shukran.
Madam, I want to thank you for being here today. It was an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Shukran for having me, and I hope I answered everybody's questions.
Alhamdulillah. I'm very happy that we had this time together.
Shukran.
And may Allah guide you and me and all Muslim and Mu'min on the straight path always.
Shukran.
And on the straight path to Jannah, inshallah.
Shukran.
Keep
shukran.
Well, my
shukran.
Darling.
Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.